Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we develop individualized programs to help clients find that book inside of them they've always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the writing they engage in as a part of their work. My co-host and producer for Right Here, Right Now is Kevin Finn. Kevin wears many hats at Business Radio X, but I'll tell you right now, it's just good to say good morning.
It's good to see you, Dr. Tim. It's been way too long.
Oh, it's been 4 weeks since I sat here.
It was a nice little break. But we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. We did do a show on Christmas and on New Year's, but we had taped those prior so we could all be with our families and enjoy. I'll tell you, I'm wondering if I know how to do this. So far, so good, right?
You're doing good, yeah. I think you. It's like riding a bike. You never forget.
Yeah, that's what we hope. Well, you know, our theme today, I'm just excited about it. Security for our businesses, our homes, and in our lives. It's just an ongoing concern. What we as individuals or family members, business leaders, what do we know about personal security and about what about security in the workplace? We know only too well how seemingly safe settings can become terribly unsafe in a matter of seconds. And today's guests are going to provide us with insight into all of these concerns. All three have been or are engaged in security businesses. In the studio with me are Russ Giudicessi and Bart Mitchum from Action Training Academy in Cobb County, Georgia, and Brett Broughton, a retired U.S. Customs Service and Department of Homeland Security agent. Now, I'm going to follow our usual format of interviewing each guest individually. However, I'll do a shorter version than I usually do because I think there's a whole lot of energy, a whole lot of excitement among all three of these gentlemen, and I want them to be talking to each other as well. We're going to start with Agent Brett Broughton, specialized in cases involving unlawful import practices that adversely affected vulnerable U.S. industries. His book, Homeland Insecurity, Failed Politics, Policies, and a Nation at Risk, gives a rare behind-the-scene glimpse of the actual workings of federal law enforcement agencies and the true nature of their interagency relationships. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have a Minnesotan in our midst. I spent four of the coldest years of my life in Minnesota, but in Minnesota they know how to handle snow and they make it fun, right?
Yes, they do.
That's great. Well, you are a retired U.S. Customs Service agent. You interfaced with the Homeland Security. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, for 29 years, I was started as a customs inspector up on the Canadian border, Minnesota and North Dakota. Then became a special agent in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh.
And did the job for about 25 years. Worked with all types of agencies that are out there with the government. Took away a lot of stories, which I've put into my book, but essentially there's been so much misinformation that we've dealt with over the years that we on the inside have seen the truth. We've seen what's been released for public consumption, and frankly, just out of a sense of frustration that most of us felt, we all said, someone's got to write a book. And I've been the only one who stepped forward and probably into harm's way. I hope not. But
well, is this an expose, a tell-all?
Those are my memoirs. It is a tell-all. It is the truth about how federal agencies get along and why American families investing what they do in terms of their personal liberties for the sake of security really have got to know the price they're paying for what they're receiving. And that's the message, the takeaway that I hope people get from this book.
Run that by us again, because I think that's a critical piece. There's a takeaway. There's a give and take. Where what I heard was constitutional rights and security.
Correct. Because if, as I've said in the book, those willing to give up their personal liberties for a sense of security deserve neither. And I think it was Franklin who said that.
Mm-hmm.
The situation is that we are told there is a threat, and we as Americans, first of all, as families, which I've heard resonating throughout all the groups I've met with, we want to take care of our kids, and that's from the Sandy Hook shootings and different things like mm-hmm. that. But I think we as families and as Americans have larger considerations and concerns we have to pay attention to, which are not out in public, because people in my position coming up through as agents keep their mouths shut. Because as a whistleblower, you do put yourself in harm's way in terms of your career and your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
We're all aware of what's going on out there. Some buy into it as being part of the company, saying, I have to support because it helps me, it helps the company in the sense of the government. Others say, well, I'd like to say something, but I'm not willing to risk my family and their welfare for the sake of being truthful. Now, having retired now for 3 years, hopefully, none of that is a concern anymore. So the time is now to let people know this is really what's going on. This is how our security concerns are impacted by how agencies get along. Talk about the events of 9/11, the origins, the lead up to it, and how certain things could have been done better, and maybe would have mitigated some of what we've suffered.
What do you believe would shock readers the most when they begin to read this, or in a general way, if they knew?
I think what would shock readers, but we've had such a sales pitch on this. What really impacted me was a particular incident that involved worksite enforcement, where we would go into a site and remove the illegal aliens that were present there, the workforce. Having been told for all this time, and I know we've all heard it, jobs Americans don't want. That's the big lie that's been sold. And in my experience, and this is back in late 2000s, actually, just before I retired, 3 years before, when the illegals were taken out of a livestock processing plant that handled 6,000 head of cattle a day, it was gruesome. Americans came flooding back because the wages went back. They left because of the wages being undercut by the presence of the illegals that were there. If I could give anything, I guess, out of that, I would like someone to take away that, you know, this is the big lie we've been sold about jobs not that Americans don't want. But at the same time now, we've got the unemployment benefits going for almost, 99 weeks. What is the truth? So what I'm giving is I'm giving a dose of truth that people can read. They can take it for what it's worth and use that as a filter for what they're hearing in the media and what they're hearing from politicians saying, you know, this guy has no dog in the fight. He has no reason to not tell us the truth. If they can use that as a filter to say, okay, this is what I'm taking away then from these other reports, I'm going to believe that part of it. My job is done.
The ink is still wet on this book. It just came out, didn't it?
In November, yes.
Yeah. It has a copyright of 2013, but I say that just it's a fresh. It hasn't been out there long, but people need to get it and read it. You mentioned the political piece. Democrats love to blame Republicans for the problems of the world and vice versa. This supersedes that, I would gather.
Regardless of which end of the political aisle or spectrum you're on, all of us at the base level want to keep our families safe.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that the ones we love can get a job when it comes time, when they graduate from college, and we can get around the 50% unemployment rate for college graduates. Those that are working in the families can keep their jobs, because there's other issues raised here about even those trained professionals that are maybe out of work in between looking for something are facing competition from a foreign workforce of trained workers that they probably don't know about, but are coming in and really exerting extreme competition at a level that the American trained worker is not going to be able to overcome easily.
Mm-hmm.
That is also in there. So there's, if you go just to the base level where, you know, I want to keep my family safe, I want to keep my kids safe, I want to know what threats are coming in, I want to know how I'm going to find work and how my kids are going to find work.
It's
start
in there.
When
I was doing my research on you, reading your websites, your LinkedIn and all that, the thing that struck me is that you've been talking about immigration issues, but you also talked about products. Am I correct that as a customs agent, there were sometimes you had to make sure that the wrong things didn't get to where they were supposed to be?
Yes, I was involved in copyright trademark protection, Underwriters Laboratories. You know, we have the UL mark on something electrical. The Chinese were and still are counterfeiting those, so that you have unsafe electrical products coming in and Christmas tree lights. We had experiences, I had personally, and it's been just reported, of notes inside these decorations for Halloween or for Christmas, people in China pleading for help.
Oh,
get
really?
Me out of here. I'm being held prisoner. And begging for someone who was getting this product to please help me because I'm being held here. It never came. We couldn't help. We didn't know who they were.
Wow.
So this is what our American workers are up against.
There we are. Surprises all over the place. How do you help people today outside of the book that you have written? Do you consult with anybody or any organizations?
I have been down meeting with folks in Atlanta, international anti-counterfeiting coalition people, who really are pretty well established companies like Rolex and Louis Vuitton and the type that really have their own private armies. But as I had mentioned earlier, is what I'm hearing resonating are parents saying, we're really afraid for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone help us, tell us, with your background, help us keep our kids safe? What can we do? What can we tell them? It's not a matter of just knowing. It's a matter of doing. And that, I think, is the big hump that parents have to overcome is, you know, there's going to have to be some planning and execution in order to keep the kids safe, and they have to be willing to do it.
Yeah. Well, we've barely scratched the surface. I see Russ and Brett just shaking. No, Bart. I knew I was going to get this messed up with a Brett Broughton and a Bart Mitchum, but we'll make it through. Let's go over to them, and I know we're going to have a really wide-open conversation shortly, but first, Brett, how do people be in touch with you? Get your book, ask you questions.
Well, my website uses the book. It's www.homeland-insecurity.com. On that, I have connections to my blog site and my email. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
Boy, I like that. Homeland Insecurity.
That's a great name, isn't it?
That's great. I totally forgot about you over there. Sorry. Did you have a question?
I will circle back around. We'll just continue, and I'll come in when we open up the mics.
I told you it was going to take a while for me to get adjusted here.
It's fine.
Okay, great. Well, Russ Giudicessi is an executive protection specialist for business personnel, clergy, and government officials for Action Training Academy, and is a licensed private investigator. And Captain Bart Mitchum retired from the U.S. Navy after 26 years of duty, which included counterterrorism, counterintelligence, weapons and drug interdiction, and embassy security. Man, I could be at risk today, all these subverses I'm bringing
in. You don't
want
to make
right?
one of these guys mad.
I want to make sure we do this right. And Bart is the author of numerous self-defense articles and several books. His latest book is How to Become a Real Live Action Hero. Welcome, Russ and Bart. Now, go ahead.
Thank you.
I'm going to throw toss-up questions. You guys have to decide who's going to answer them. How's that sound? Tell our listeners about Action Training Academy.
Well, Action Training Academy, we started a couple years ago with the mindset in place to train physical security and personal security of not only just individuals but the workplace, clergy, churches, and large organizations. We teach everything from hand-to-hand to hand-to-weapons to firearms training. But I'd say probably the biggest thing we teach is awareness. Brett touched on it, you know, that we're all just kind of blank for mm-hmm. all the information that everybody's inundated every day with of what's going on. And we try to teach an awareness so everybody can go out every day and be aware of their surroundings, not just, you know, basically what's going on with the government or maybe police, whatnot, but what actually is within their sphere of influence, you know, both their family, their jobs, and of course, their friends.
Okay. Bart, you come with a really solid and scary military background to be in. Did you anticipate creating your own organization to carry on stuff like this?
Well, what happened is actually a friend of mine who worked for POST, the Police Officer Standardization Training, was my Sailor of the Year during the first Gulf War. And he suggested that I go to work as a PI.
Mm.
And it's something I'd been interested in from, you know, read the Hardy Boys books when I was in the fifth and sixth grade, that kind of stuff.
I did that too.
And so the training naturally came from, it was just kind of a hand-in-hand thing. I've run martial arts schools 40 years. So I had the hand-to-hand firearms training in the military, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as I began to look around, the how to become a real life action hero is about protecting your family and your friends and taking care of yourself. To me, a real hero is a person who does protect his family, his business, and those kind of things. It's not putting on the cape. It's about just general, be safe when you travel, vacation, taking care of your kids. That's one of the things that we really do. We do stress a lot. In fact, is when I leave here, I'm going to go teach a class on recovering runaways and kidnapped children for GAPI, which is the Georgia Association of Professional Private Investigators.
Okay. You call yourselves protection specialists, and you throw in their clergy. That
well, actually, the first
time... That slaps me around.
Actually, the first time that Russ and I ever worked together, we were working for another company, and somebody had gotten out of a mental institution and showed up at a pastor's house, threatened him with a knife, showed up at church. Just yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled that they are not going to hear the case about carrying firearms in churches. So we were actually hired to come to make sure that nothing happened during a Christmas service several years ago. We did the Christmas Eve service, the Christmas service.
Wow.
And through New Year's, until the gentleman was replaced in a mental institution. But churches, particularly churches that have television ministries, radio ministries, they're movie stars as far as a lot of people are concerned, or television stars. And they attract a lot of people, and of course among that are going to be mentally unstable people.
Okay. Russ, what led you into this work, this profession?
It was at Christmas Eve. Prior to that, I'd been in a church service where a fight had broke out, pastor leaving.
Oh, man.
That was, what, a month? Or Bart had taught me some tactics to handle big, large groups of people. Well, I didn't realize how large those groups could become and how quickly it happens. And then when they asked me to do the church service with Bart on Christmas Eve, I jumped at it. We are... unfortunately unaware of how quickly things fall apart, and they do all around us every day, and sometimes we're fortunate, I mean, to live in this country that we do, that we don't see as much of it as, say, they do overseas. But
yeah, I'm reminded of the times, the few, and it's been a while, when I flew overseas and flew into Germany, and LL, the Israeli airline, was in the gate next door with all of their military lined up, and there were some German soldiers with their guns too, and that's a real quick awakening as to how things are different, but also how other countries really take on their security concerns. What's the biggest thing that you have coming to you as a company? Is there one thing in particular? Is it individuals, corporations? What?
Well, we do some political. We do a lot of town hall meetings where we're in the crowd, one of the legislators we work for basically says, you're there to protect my constituents, and so we're actually out in the crowd. We're visually watching for a threat to arise, so we can deal with it before it actually becomes a problem, because. Basically, town hall meetings don't have metal detectors, don't really have security. And the Gabby Gifford case is what really started to make people aware. But let's say you have a disgruntled employee. You're a big company, and you believe that there might be a problem. We come in, work with your human resources. We escort them off of the property, explain to them about criminal trespass laws, and provide protection for as long as the company thinks that they need. I worked one case where a guy came back and tried to burn a factory down. There are people that do come back and shoot people or try to...
Well, unfortunately, we say it gone postal because of that, but it's not just the postal services.
It can be, and sometimes what's really strange to me is it can be a family member of somebody that they believe was wrongly fired. We do that kind of, there's just a myriad of things that anytime you feel in a situation that not only yourself, but the people around you, your employees are in danger, that's the kind of situation that we can come in, we can work with you, we can teach you, or we can provide security.
Okay. Russ, let's pick up on that. If I go down Canton Road in Cobb County while I find your place of business? Can I walk in and get a class or anything?
No, we're really hidden to the general public. We train a lot of, quite honestly, our own competition, other teams. Lots of teams come to us knowing, you know, just the core practicals that we teach, you know, from the very basics. We don't take anything for granted when we teach anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We find out what their skill set is, and we try to build on that. I think one point to make on the threats, social media has really revved everybody up. I think there's not only just a perceived threat that comes from social media, but I think also it gives us an opportunity to kind of look into the thoughts that's going on behind
mm-hmm.
the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
One of our team members, Brandy, is really good at disseminating information and saying, hey, guys, this is probably how this is going to work out. And everybody can imagine, they go to everybody's Facebooks and they see rifles or they see, you know, whatever it might mm-hmm. be, you know, known threats, if you want to take it for that, in social media. And I think we spend a lot of time diffusing that. I mean, we say it all the time, the best day for us is a really boring day.
I like that.
I do like that.
When you said you can't find us because we're pretty well hidden, is that intentional or just...
It has been in the past.
Okay.
As of here recently, we're really reaching out to the clergy,
okay.
The church groups, about everybody. Again, Bart said that we're private investigators, so we do a lot of investigation, lots of surveillance, and that lends a different set of abilities to actually figure out what your problems are, because we won't take it for granted. We can sit down and try to figure it out.
We're more of a come to you.
Okay.
If you have a church or you have a corporation or you have, we're more of a come to you.
Okay. Well, with that, I want to get Brett back in here. Would either you, Russ, or Bart, tell us how can people be in touch with you guys?
Well, for us, it's actiondetectiveagency.com or actiontrainingacademy.com, depending on which service you need. And it's Action MyPI or Action MYPI. Is our Twitter, if you want to follow us on Twitter.
Boy, you got it covered, don't you?
We have it
covered. We like that. Well, thank you. Let's bring you back in, Brett. Let me begin with this. Do you each have questions for the other? Is this where you need to come in, Kevin?
I have a curious thing. The theme I saw through this is you guys both want to make our kids safer. How do you guys plan to do that? That's a question for everyone, whoever wants to start.
One of the things we do, we teach a class called BYOB, Be Your Own Bodyguard. And in that, we have a system that we teach called the 10 Evil Warriors. And we teach parents how to recognize predators by 10 personality types. Because you cannot look at a person and determine if they're a child predator or not. And so what we do is we teach behavior recognition. And one of the ways that we do it that's so effective is if a kid can, we'll teach them an evil warrior, for example, like Mr. Friendly or the Helper or all these different characters. But then we make them role play the bad guy. And then they learn to recognize it. And we've had so many parents come to us and tell us about situations where, you know, maybe it was just mom called. She had a flat tire, and she called the neighbor to go pick the kids up at school, and they wouldn't go because it hadn't gone through all the steps that we teach. But we teach the parents how to teach the children, and that's in it's a class we teach periodically. It's a half a day or a full day class, depending on how parents want to arrange it. But we actually teach them how to recognize predators.
Well, that goes back to what Russ was saying about awareness, and that's raising the awareness of our children, which I think is the really important part.
And Brett, what would you look at?
I worked child pornography investigations for a few years. I was a computer forensics fellow who got in and crashed the system and got out the images and videos and everything else to put people away. And so I saw firsthand what happens to kids and how it happens at the hands of people they know, relatives, friends.
Is that where it's most common? Is their friends and relatives?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's people they know. They have a level of trust, so they don't feel anything will go wrong, and they're being threatened with being punished if they say anything. Mm-hmm. That keeps them quiet. So I carry that with me, but obviously parents are looking for training, but at the same time, my emphasis, besides letting them know what the government can't do for them, because they say, well, someone else can take care of all of this. In my book, I explain, I think, fairly thoroughly, the government is not everything you think it is. It's got motivations that go well beyond taking care of American families. That rests with each one of us individually as husbands, fathers, mothers of the families to watch over the kids. The government shouldn't and won't do it because they are driven by politics and everything else, the usual suspects, to take care of other things. And taking care of the family at that level is not something they're equipped to do. So getting out and letting people know that it's your deal. It's in your court. You've got to do something about it. So you either have to seek out the training or come to me, and we'll talk about what the government can and can't do. And we'll talk about, I think, which, you know, in the Sandy Hook, to have all the kids corralled into a closet and the kindergarten teacher covers the bodies and staying in one place, that's not teaching survival skills, folks. And that's kind of where we're at. We're just hitting the dirt and just lay there, play dead. I don't think so. My mission now, since this is just newly evolved now, when I've come out and say, mm-hmm. I've got this book, and parents are just saying, raising their hands in the classroom or whatever conference room we're in, saying, we need some guidance. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do. They think just lying down, playing dead is the answer. I don't agree. But I am not going to go out and push that out unless and until I have enough from the Georgia Bureau of Investigation with my mm-hmm. own customs, former customs people now, mm-hmm. Homeland Security investigations. Okay, what is the best practices for getting kids out of a situation? I can tell you from hours and hours and hours qualifying over 30 years almost, shooting handguns and rifles and shotguns, hitting a moving target is a lot harder than hitting a stationary target. My feeling as an untrained person in terms of counseling parents is to say, you got to get the kids moving out. Now we're talking about buying Kevlar backpacks for the kids so they can be a protected, motionless target? Are you kidding me? This is what we're doing. This is our new strategy. Okay, here, wear the Kevlar, kids. Hit the dirt, and you'll be just fine.
Well, cool. I think you touched on it earlier. The biggest problem is we've come to the mindset now that, well, this horrible thing happened. All right, government, how are you going to fix it? Not how are we going to make ourselves safer? And I think that's the problem with a lot of things right now.
I think that's what I want to talk about with
I
folks.
Think Brett had two great important points that, you know, number one is a moving target. We teach, you know, if you stand still while you shoot, you know, somebody will take your head and put it on a stick. But the other thing is in one of the evil warriors that we talk about is the leader. And it's the coaches. It is the people that have access to the children all the time. Brett, you're exactly right. We do studies all the time, and that person that they look at as a person of authority or a person of leadership that has access to them is one of the things that we talk to parents about working with their kids on what programs they put them in, that kind of stuff. And 100% I agree with you about keeping on the move. We have a really hard time with our executive protection. We do the tactical driving. And they all come, and they're all excited because we're using the Dodge Chargers and all this stuff. And then we tell them, look, you're going to run the course totally in reverse. I mean, you're to get out of situations, not to rush into them. You can't be still, and you have to extricate yourself from a bad situation.
Wow. That's a great point. Your training will only go so far. It can only get so complicated. You know, especially the children. Something simple as pulling the fire alarm probably would have saved lives up in Sandy Hook. It got them outside at least. Mm-hmm. I think we take too soft of approach to the children. They're resilient. I mean, I'm not a father, but I'll be honest. Children are way smarter than I was when I was their age. They can handle a lot more than we're giving them. They have a great understanding, and if they understand safety and each other, a lot more can be done.
Yeah, we've just come to a generation of overprotective parents, and we go to extremes of when my parents were kids, they could go off, walk anywhere they wanted to, and they're 7 years old, and they're walking miles to the mall, this or that. Now our kids this day, we're watching them like hawks, and I don't think that does them any benefit, like you were saying.
Yeah. Well, in role-playing, Brandy brought it up here, passed me a note, and that is so important for those kids. I can remember, because I'm way older than anybody else in the room, but I can remember the atomic bomb, get out in the hall and get under your desk.
You're not that much older because I did those too. And you remember the yellow and black signs, this is an air raid shelter? Yeah, right.
But the role-playing part of it is we can still remember today, years later, those role-playing situations. And Russ is right. Kids are resilient if you'll just tell them what to do.
Okay. Brett, I want to go back to you in terms of, I want to ask you another time. What would be another thing that would shock the people reading your book, or if they really knew that this really is going on here and we think we're safe, but we're not?
We have got a southwest border that there's 1,951 miles of border with Mexico. They've built maybe, I don't know, 500 miles of fence. No one even knows. You can't rely on any data. That's the problem. In doing just research, I'm not tied in with the Border Patrol, so I have to rely on information everyone does, getting on official government websites. It's wide open. The Strategic Border Initiative that touts all this surveillance equipment, that's what the government does when they don't want to put boots on the ground. They don't want to spend the money on salaries, so they'll put a camera up and say, yeah, that we got it covered. Now, that's gone by the boards. That doesn't work. We have a wide-open border. We have ranchers in Arizona, one fellow in particular that led to Jan Brewer writing her book, Scorpions for Breakfast, who is out patrolling. He would stop and help. He was an older fellow. With his dog, Blue, he would stop and help illegals that were trying to come in that were dying of thirst. Well, he stopped a marijuana load one time. And the cartel didn't like that. So they sent someone out in the weeks that followed pretending to be in duress. So he's out riding with Blue in his four-wheeler. He sees the fellow and goes up to help him. He's got a shotgun in on the four-wheeler. And they shoot him in cold blood. And they see the footprints going back into Mexico. They even shot his dog, who stayed to protect him while the dog lay dying. So they stumbled upon the body, and he had died within, I think, 100 yards if he tried to drive to get help, but then he collapsed. This is now the new normal. We have vast tracts of federal and state lands shut down, saying too dangerous to go in. So we as American citizens looking for a place to camp down in, let's say, Texas, you know, or Arizona, that'd be a great place to go, state land. You don't go there because it's not safe, because it's wide open. So we have our sovereignty being threatened. That's, I think, one thing that would be terribly surprising to people. They're looking for leadership. I've been reading, going on along with my answer here, survivor books. And it's not being a survivalist or a prepper, but it's about how we will just stand by and wait for someone to take the lead. And that's where I see the deficiency. We're standing by waiting for the government to do something when they are motivated by other forces to not do something.
Is that to suggest that I'm putting it out there, you guys are, I'm putting it out there, that our legislatures really don't want to lead? They want to take the comfortable, easy, let's get reelected?
I think the greatest point is, how's the Constitution read? It says we the people. It doesn't say us, the government, right? We're the ones to lead them, tell them what to do. And we've taken a back seat to them. You know, we've allowed, through whatever media sources we want to say, we've been spoon-fed what they think we need to know. And quite honestly, it's just as simple as each one of us acting. You know, taking responsibility for ourselves, our family. You know, if we start locally, we can send out some leadership. That when guys in Brett's capacity in their department say, hey, we've got a problem, you know, that we're not turning a blind eye to it. You know, and we know there's some accountability. At some point, there has to be some accountability.
Well, Brett, do we have to worry about the Canadian border?
Absolutely not. But what we do have to worry about is all the support programs by the federal government. Obama has instituted lawsuits, Department of Justice, against states that are, like Georgia, aggressive in promoting what we call the 287G program, which Obama has pulled off the table now. Just call it like it is. It's a program where ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, gets a call from a state and local law enforcement officer on an immigration issue. They've picked someone up for some other violation. And they can, through 287G, the program, ask what their citizenship is. And ICE, Immigration Customs, should respond. But Morton, who's now directing ICE, Immigration Customs, says we're not going to help anymore. This is how we're going to shut this down. So under Bush, I was part of the group that was out training all these state and local people, cross-designating them so they could ask the immigration questions. And now it's completely off the table. Our guys are sitting on their hands, and I've talked to colleagues still that are saying, we're sitting on our hands, we're not allowed to do our jobs, and we're going crazy because we see all this going on and we're told, don't do anything. In fact, there's one agent now, I think with ICE, who countermanded the order and went and helped state and local in getting an illegal that was convicted of something or held for something. And now he's in trouble and he's on the beach, probably going to have time off. This is what the guys are going through now. So you have state legislatures responding, trying to help their states, and you have the administration step in and say, no, you're not going to because that doesn't serve our purpose. And that's the message.
I know you're busting to talk. I can tell.
Well, one of the other things, and one of the things that we deal with, too, is as private investigators and stuff, and it kind of ties in, we see it, the problem with the immigration stuff, and that's in the sex trafficking. Atlanta is now rated one of the highest cities or the highest city in sex trafficking. And it's so prevalent in this area that it's just almost – that's one of the things that we worry about when we're doing work.
Could you define that?
Young women, the majority of them, young women that are either runaways or, you know, basically street children that mm-hmm. are picked up. They're mostly transported. There is sort of a circuit at Atlanta having major interstates. They're transported in the Nashville, Memphis, Jackson, Birmingham, Atlanta. That's one circuit, the Southeast Circuit, and that stuff. They're picked up. They're transported. They work in strip clubs. There's a lot of in the ministry recovery groups that go out and try to recover these, but
let me share with you, and I think Brett, you'll be amazed by this. I worked the streets of South Minneapolis when I was in graduate school. I was hired by a congregation to literally walk the streets. Now my mom and dad got upset when I used that term, but that's what I did. I went into bars, I went into clubs, I went into the trade and tech schools in the area, and it was in January of 1973 that I was brought in with a few other professionals like you. There had been a kidnapping of a young teenager, and we were pretty certain that she had been forced into sex trafficking. And that was 1973. There were several other people who did walking the streets as I did, and we each had our own geographical areas. And so they trusted us to go in and talk with the various people that we had connected with. And as I recall, the young lady was found down in Madison, Wisconsin. So it's been around a long time.
I don't know the exact numbers. 2 years ago, they put a $30 billion tag on it. That's the business value of it. And from what we've seen, it's growing. I mean, you can't – they're enslaved. Mm-hmm. And it's any child or children or young individual that's – readily available is at risk to be grabbed, and like Bart was going to get at, they're transported through our interstate system in the back of the cabs of semis, which aren't allowed to be searched by police officers without a warrant. So these trucks can go up and down the road with someone in the bed cab, mm-hmm. bed portion, the non-driving side of those semis, and they can't be searched.
Wow.
And most of the time, the kids are so drugged that they're not going to give up a fight.
Well, intentionally drugged, not
sure.
voluntarily,
will, yeah.
right?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. intentionally.
Brett, you want to weigh in?
Well, as far as sex trafficking, there's another story in the book about involvement with a Russian immigrant that was out of Jersey. She was not a minor, but she was in Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, Lake Street. Mm-hmm. Marshall Avenue.
That was part of my area.
Yeah, Lake
I
Street.
Remember
That's
it.
A great area.
Yes, yes, yes.
They had a wire up. The Customs did at the time. It was Immigration Customs, and then a Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, BCA, and on the wire, the Guatemalan pimp was bragging that she had serviced 40 men in one night.
Ooh, man.
So there was a whole army of illegals that were, we thought, held as sex slaves and ended up not being. But they, like I told folks, I said in the book as well, that, you know, I brought this woman in. She was grateful that we'd saved her. But in looking in her eyes and all the women that were aged beyond their years that were serving as prostitutes for this ring run by illegal aliens, they had no life in their eyes. Their eyes were as dead spiritually as the eyes of the children in those images I looked on. That I would, you know, as I was looking, I would say prayers to myself just to try to feel like you were staying safe and away from mm-hmm. the craziness that was that sinister mm-hmm. world. So that, as far as adding to it, that's about all I have.
Okay.
What do you guys think we can do as a country to help stop some of this stuff for our kids and women and just, is there a solution?
Yeah, everyone has to act locally. I mean, I don't agree with everyone getting involved or jumping into the fight, but absolutely, if you see something or you know it's not right, you know it's not in your heart it's not right, you've got to act. When Bart teaches recovering kidnapped children, there really is a small window to help. And I think if people knew how important it was to act quickly, I think more would be done. I think we could start there.
So that just goes back to awareness. Because I don't think a lot of people know about any of this stuff. They like this. Go home, have a beer, just stay in their lives and ignore it. And we don't have anyone really talking about it.
Stronger families, you know, having fathers in the home is one of the best deterrents against sex trafficking that you can have. I had a case, I got a call about 2 in the morning, a friend of mine, and his neighbor had just come home and discovered that their daughter was halfway across the Atlantic. She was 16 to meet some boy that she met on the internet. Now, what boy could send a airline ticket from Atlanta to Rome, Italy? What kind of, you know, 16-year-old boy has that kind of money? And we really got lucky, but because we were already 12 hours behind, but we really got lucky. We got some really good help in Italy and managed to recover her. But if we had been 12 hours later, we'd have never gotten her back.
There would have been no recovery, right?
No, somebody she met on the internet.
Wow, wow. You look pensive.
Yeah, I've got all the answers here this morning.
Sure
you
do.
Good show to be on when you have all the answers. Mm-hmm. How do we unring a bell? How do we get tough with our kids? How does our backbone stiffen so we start being parents again? And as leaders, we demonstrate leadership abilities, and we tell the kids, no, you can't be on the internet. You take away the iPads, iPods, and just go back to simpler times. Can we return to life on the prairie? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible because we have a free and open society, and we take all the good with the bad and more of the bad probably because we want to be open. And political correctness, I will say, binds as much of us in federal law enforcement still today as anybody in the private sector. And I think we have to, as Americans, to get over that.
I'll give you an amen.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
My personal solution to that would be just openness, parents being involved in their children's lives and their children being able to talk to their parents, because you set too many restrictions, then you can't tell your parents if you're talking to some boy in Italy on Facebook. But if your parents are more open, not as strict, then they'll be able to address those issues and tell their kids, well, you might not want to do this or this might be what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, there's – Brandy would be the one to have on another show to go into this on your social media. But there are some easy ways to monitor it, short of putting a chip on them and getting a beep on the map. But yeah, definitely, Brandy. It's, parents, you can't give in to the pressure.
Well, Brandy, guess what I just had Kevin do? We do have a female in here. I know you're married. Yeah, you have to have a passion for kids. And the men have been really addressing this and raising up kids. I need you as a mother to talk about that. And your mic is open.
Thank you.
You didn't mean that.
No, I didn't. I was so close.
Reflect on what's being shared, and the men are saying we need a dad in the house. What role do you see for the mothers in this as well, and how do you relate to all of this?
Well, I do have children. I feel like we need to have these proactive role plays with our kids. I do situations with my kids all the time. If somebody says this to you, if someone tries to pick you up, if someone comes into the house, if someone knocks on the door, somebody comes up to the car, we go through these role plays in order, hoping that when that moment happens, they'll remember just a small portion of what it is that we talked about and how we trained.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that a lot of women in particular take a backseat to their family safety. And I think they need to take charge.
How do your children react when you put them through these things?
They react very well. They know it's part of their awareness and what we do. They're extremely observant because of it.
Mm-hmm.
They notice people in parking lots. They notice people that are too close to our car. They notice strangers. They notice things. They're not paranoid.
I'm glad you said that.
They
are not paranoid.
They're not paranoid.
It makes them much more aware.
They are empowered to have a part of their own safety.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I heard after Sandy Hook was, this is not a time to talk to our kids about what they could do. They're not able to take that in.
Oh, yeah,
and I completely disagree.
Right.
That's the first thing I did with my children is rediscuss those things that, what would you have done? My children have an advantage because they've heard gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken them to the range. They've been through all the classes that Bart's talking about. They are extremely aware of what they're empowered to do. Again, adrenaline goes and these situations happen with children. No, they're not going to remember all of it. But if we do it over and over, and this isn't every day, I'm not trying to, make them crazy or paranoid, but they feel brave, that they are empowered.
Do you monitor their use of computer and all of that stuff?
I absolutely do.
Boy, you didn't hesitate there, and your colleagues are laughing.
Yes.
They know, huh?
Yeah. I actually, I monitor everything they do. They have parental controls on all their electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Any downloads, I have to enter in a password. They have no social media. You can't find a photo of my child or my children with their name anywhere on the internet.
You're the ugly, mean mom, aren't you?
I am. But I'm the one that.
But your kids are safe.
They're as safe as I can possibly protect them with. All I can do is try to keep them from putting themselves out there because that opens them up.
And that's the thing, the photos. Don't put the photos out there. I was reading the other day that a lot of parents will put on their Facebook a picture of their child because that's who they are, their child. Well, that's high risk, wouldn't you say?
I absolutely would. I would also say that I think one of the problems with the parents currently is they're lazy. They don't want to monitor.
Exactly.
They want to write on their own Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
They're extremely involved with posting their own status, and they definitely don't want to monitor. I believe that multiple generations at this point have just put everything out there to the point they don't see anything really wrong with what their children are doing because they're doing it too.
They're doing it themselves.
I think that comes to a whole nother problem we could have a whole nother show about is that
sure.
A lot of people have kids because of social pressure, but not really because they want to be parents. So then they see them as an inconvenience and sort of just something they have to do, a chore. So
that's right.
Well, you bring up a good topic when it's time to close. I like that. I very seldom do this, but I'm going to give each one of you, we got to bring the show to a close, but I'd like each one of you to take a shot at, you know, what would be one last thing you'd like to share, say, offer, whatever, and we'll go in the order we started. So, Brett?
I just want people to have a filter that they don't accept everything they hear in the media as truth, and to consider other alternatives, of other sources of information to balance that from what they hear most of the time, and to make their own decision. Be tough. I mean, you've got to be strong. You've got to be a leader for your family. And I know there's a lot of single-parent families out there, so that makes it doubly hard on the one that remains. Mm-hmm. I give them all the credit for that. Yeah. But as far as a free and open society, we have some ills I don't know how to get around. And that's about all I have.
Okay. Well,
Brett, could you give us some of those sources real fast, just other sources than the normal media, because people don't know about those, if you have any on top of your head.
Well, as far as other sources, if you get on Amazon and just look for books that appeal to children, family, security, and read and build on that, whether it's Kindle or a hardback, hard copy, which I prefer, I have to hold something in my hands, all of that, take it on balance with what you hear, and those are the other sources I'd recommend.
Okay, good.
Good. Russ?
I got to bounce off what Brett had to say there. Everyone needs to take a leadership role in their own lives. You know, if you want to affect a change, you've got to make the change. You know, be it training, be it awareness, be it reading, or getting next to experts that, you know, that have a heart for your protection and your family's protection. There's a lot of us out there.
Okay.
But mainly, you know, we got a great society, and it'll stay this way if we're all involved.
Well, there are a lot of sources out there, a lot of government sources, a lot of government agencies that are trying to do a good job, but we need to provide them support. They're handicapped a lot of times. I know that I was an interrogator with DIA and back in the older days, and I know that those guys have been totally handicapped now by some of the restrictions and things that are happening. And, of course, I have to pitch my own book. How to be a real live action hero is available on Amazon. It's in paperback, so it's not that bad. But each chapter is a standalone. It has in the car, in the restaurant, at the shopping mall. So you can open it up to a chapter, how to secure your home, and take that chapter and just read it. You don't have to read the whole book. Every chapter can be targeted to what you need to do.
And I would say the same thing with Brett's book on homeland insecurity. I've glanced at the table of contents, and I really chuckled when I saw the titles because it brings up things that are very current. And I did the same thing with your book, Bart. Good stuff, both of you. Brandy, we need the female perspective. You get the last word.
I probably would just suggest that, you know, for the parents, not to be afraid to say no to your kids. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses on social media. And lastly, if you want to get involved or you're concerned about what the children are doing online, we can help with proactive research on social media. We can tell you what your kids are doing.
Okay. Well, the clock is on us, really. And we welcome your comments and suggestions about our content and our guests. If you'd like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Simply send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Kevin, for hosting. I hope I did all right.
Glad to be back, Dr. Tim.
It's
great.
Good. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks. And I thank our guests, Brett Broughton, Russ Giudicessi, and Bart Mitchum. Brett, your contact information one more time.
My website, www.homeland-insecurity.com. I have a book available by the same name on the website. I contact by email, brett@homeland-insecurity.com. I look forward to questions or comments. Thank you.
Great. Russ?
Yeah, actiontrainingacademy.com. And our phone number is 678-861-MYPI.
Okay.
That's the best way to get hold of us.
And Bart?
Well, I'll just say that my website, actiondetectiveagency.com, if you want armed security or we do all kinds of everything from domestic to criminal backgrounds. So.
Okay. And Brandy, you're affiliated with them, right?
I do claim them both.
And they're not backing off. That's great. That's great. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. And you can learn more about Right Choice Services and help how we help individuals write the book they've always wanted to write at www.write, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, rightchoiceservices.com. I hope you'll join us next week and tell your friends about the show. In fact, I always encourage you to send an email to them right now, inviting them to listen live or to the MP3 downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at rightherenow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.